County Board to order. Consistent with previously published public notice, we will now convene a truth and taxation hearing of the McLean County Board. In accordance with Chapter 35, Section 200 of the Illinois Compiled Statutes, a notice of proposed property tax increase for McLean County, Illinois, was published in the Pantograph newspaper of general circulation in McLean County on Sunday, November 8th. The notice was published not more than 14 days nor 7 days prior to the date of this public hearing. The notice was published in accordance with the requirements set forth in the property tax code. Mr. Lindberg, please read the notice.
Notice of proposed property tax increase for McLean County, Illinois. A public hearing to approve a proposed property tax levy increase for McLean County, Illinois for the fiscal year 2010, January 1, 2010 through December 31, 2010 will be held on Tuesday, November 17th at 9 a.m. in room 400, Government Center, 115 East Washington Street, Bloomington, Illinois. Any person desiring to appear at the public hearing and present testimony to the taxing district may contact Mr. Walter F. Lindberg, McLean County Administrator, Government Center, room 400, 115 East Washington Street, Bloomington, Illinois, 617-02-2400, telephone 309-888-5110. The corporate and special purpose property tax is extended or abated for the fiscal year 2009, January 1, 2009 through December 31, 2009, were $25,815,149.49. The proposed corporate and special purpose property taxes to be levied for fiscal year 2010, January 1, 2010 through December 31, 2010, are $27,321,972. This represents a 5.84% increase over the previous year. The property taxes extended for debt service and public building commission leases for fiscal year 2009 were $4,909,648.58. The estimated property taxes to be levied for debt service and public building commission leases for fiscal year 2010 are $4,667,718. This represents a 4.93% decrease over the previous year. The total property taxes extended or abated for fiscal year 2009 were $30,724,798.07. The estimated total property taxes to be levied for fiscal year 2010 are $31,989,690. This represents a 4.12% increase over the previous year. And that's the extent of the public notice.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public or members of this board that would like to present testimony, comment, or provide input to this board? Yes, ma'am. Please make your way to the microphone. Ma'am, if you could please provide your name and address for the record.
I am Lynn Barnhill, 102 East Pease, Haworth, Illinois. I am here to ask the county board to vote against increasing the property taxes. I am a recent widow, and I am on a very limited income. I lost income when my husband died. I am just about taxed right out of my home now. I took early retirement from General Electric, who is now closing their doors, so I would have lost my job one way or another. My income would have been cut. Living in the town of Haworth, there are a lot of retired people, a lot of single people who are on fixed incomes, and this just isn't in our budgets. Our pensions don't go up the way our taxes go up. When I bought my home, my grandparents told me that my house payment shouldn't be more than 1 week's wages a month, and that my taxes should not be more than 1 month's income per year. Well, my taxes when I bought my house were $400 a year. Now they are almost $2,000 a year, and that is more than 1 month's income. And in my neighborhood, just in my immediate neighborhood, there is one single young working mother with three children. Everyone else in my neighborhood in a three-block radius is retired. Some are single people, some are two people income retired, but they're all on fixed incomes. We all can't afford this. Then we have the plant closings, GE, Mitsubishi, as they're practically non-existent in production. And I heard on the news last night that there's a 10% unemployment rate across the nation, the highest it's been in 26 years. How can you justify raising taxes when people are losing their jobs? Pretty soon they're going to be losing their homes, which we have had a lot of that in the last year. We all hear the national news. We all hear that homes aren't worth what they were. People are losing their homes right and left, foreclosures. I can't understand. My tax notice came and said that my assessed evaluation was going up when the property values have gone down. How is that justified? And now the county wants to raise more taxes? We can't afford this as homeowners and taxpayers. People with student loans who take 20, 30 years to repay their loans. I have a daughter who went to Wesleyan. Great school. Her student loans are outrageous. She'll never be able to afford to buy a home, let alone pay the high taxes that goes along with buying a home because of repaying her student loans. Food, utilities, and gas in my car. There are days I don't move my car now that I'm retired because, and I noticed coming into town today, gas has gone up again. We just can't afford more taxes. I am a board member for the Village of Hayworth. We have kept our budget very tight. We have not gone over budget. I think you, sir, came to one of our village board meetings back in this early summer and told us great news how the county board here had cut expenses and hadn't had to cut any jobs. We thought that was great. But now you want to up my taxes to keep all these jobs? Maybe we need to look at some of the layoffs for the county in order to keep from raising my taxes and everybody else in the county. We have great police coverage. There, I believe that we need that in this day and age. Streets aren't what they were when I was a teenager. If it were to raise taxes to keep the police in operation, I'd go for that. But I think maybe some more costs need to be cut from the county board in order to keep from raising my taxes and the fixed income across the county. With the job losses, you all need to reconsider raising our taxes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barham. Any other members of the public that would like to provide input, comment, or information to the board? Mr. Renner?
Would it be appropriate for me to ask a question?
Sure.
Sort of twofold. One, obviously there's a differential impact upon us raising taxes depending on the value of a house. But roughly what would this cost? I believe it's $160,000 is what our median house price is. Isn't that what we're reporting? What would the impact be on the median house? And if we defeat this, what would the fiscal repercussions be for the county?
The house we use as an example is a $165,000 house with a $55,000 EAV. And the implications of what's before you this morning are that the county taxes that that homeowner would pay would decrease by about $1.40.
By our actions here today.
That's correct.
Thank you. Oh, and then if we defeat this, we go back to the drawing board.
You need to have a budget in place by January 1.
Member Bostic.
I think it would be germane at this point if Mr. Lindbergh would give an overall quick synopsis of our total budget and explain that this one segment is up, but the rest is down.
I appreciate the comment. I'll direct members to pages 2 and 3 of your packet and ask Mr. Lindbergh to take the mic.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The truth in taxation notice indicates that the property taxes that count for the truth in taxation statute are estimated to increase by 5.84%. What's driving this is a decline in the three major state revenue sharing categories, income tax, sales tax, personal property replacement tax, as well as some cost increases largely in Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. If you go to page 3, you'll see a summary of total levies. The total for all funds will increase by 4.12%, which is less than the projected increase in overall EAV. If you look at the next five lines, those relate to Public Building Commission, debt service, and operating and maintenance costs, and you'll see that they will be down by $241,000 and some dollars. But if you go to the very bottom line on there, you'll see that net of those PBC levies, the levy does indeed increase by $1.5 million. That drives the 5.84%. Now I'd like to take you back to page 156 of your budget packet. This is part of another item, but I think it's a good explanation of what's going on with your fiscal 2010 budget. On page 156, it summarizes the general fund, and you'll see on the bottom line of that page that the total general fund budget decreases by $589,000, or 1.82%. I might remind you that part of the way this was accomplished was by eliminating 13 positions and downgrading two other positions. Then I'll take you over to page 158 toward the bottom of the page, where you see the line that says total operating budget. This takes into effect all of the other accounts in addition to the general fund, and the total operating budget will decrease by $529,349. Now, if you go back one page to page 157, just about halfway down the page, right where that page number 157 is, if you look at Fund 131 IMRF, you'll see that that levy increases up by $599,000, or about 22%. That's statutory. That is our obligation as the employer for the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. It's driven by poor investment performance in IMRF. We have no choice about that. If we hadn't had that kind of increase in there, obviously we would have been able to drop the levy still further. I will tell you that our estimated increase in the overall EAV is on the conservative side. If EAV goes up higher than we're projecting, then our tax rate will be still lower because the levies are fixed when you vote this and when you vote the budget. But I do want to remind you that although we were required to do a truth in taxation notice, the fact is that the homeowner will pay very slightly less in 2010 than they paid in 2009. That's small comfort to people on a fixed income and struggling through these difficult fiscal times, but I want to emphasize there is no increase in the amount of taxes the county will be levying against an individual homeowner. The increase is taken up by the overall increase in EAV, so the homeowner would pay slightly less.
I'm not sure I understand why we had to have a hearing either, but I understand. Let me just make sure that I ask a question for clarity's sake. The truth in taxation guidelines from the state of Illinois are specific to certain line items, but not all line items. Is that accurate?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Mr. Casely.
I think many of us on this board would agree with Mrs. Barnhill that it's regrettable that certain portions of the tax bill are going to go up, but we really have no choice. The IMRF levy is not driven locally, but it's driven by IMRF and caused by investment losses in the portfolio of the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. And we have to make up the difference in order to keep the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund actuarially sound. And the other portion of the budget, which is going up, is the Social Security Fund. And we had a balance in it, which we had last year and invaded and have exhausted, and that's the reason why we have to increase the Social Security fund. So that we, on the one hand, the IMRF is driven by the Municipal Retirement Fund trustees, and on the other hand, the Social Security is driven by an act of Congress, which we cannot alter or repeal. So we have no choice but to increase those funds.
Thank you. Mr. Segubiano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'd like to compliment the committee, the exec committee, and eventually this full board for diligence in putting this budget together in the administrative offices. But I think we come together as a body, and we represent 8 districts or 10 districts in this county. And I think, you know, it does us good to sit here and listen to one of our constituents state their case. And all too often, you know, we pick up the newspaper, even here today, we use a medium, $160,000 home. And sometimes I think when we hear those statistics, we forget there's actually 3 levels of individuals working, living, or retired here in McLean County. There's a low income, there's a middle income, and there's a high income. And we're always saying to the low income, well, if you own a $160,000 home, this is all it's going to cost you. I think at some point in time when we talk about truth and taxation, we need to tell the people in those 3 various brackets just how is it going to affect you. I think the budget is a good one. I think there are some areas in there that really need to be looked at, and I'm always harping on, you know, what Springfield does to us and their mandates and unfunded mandates. And here we are again, you know, with the court services, and we're going to be, you know, taken from one department in order to fund unfunded mandate that we're about to pass here today. And I want to say this public, I can't understand why we can't get more hard facts and issues presented on behalf of McLean County citizens from our area representatives in Springfield. You know, we have a legislative breakfast where we have a meeting with them, and it goes nowhere. We need to take some of these mandates that we're being forced to pass on to the taxpayers of McLean County and hold those gentlemen accountable for their actions in Springfield, because we're not getting anything from them, and we're passing it on to the taxpayers. So Ms. Barnhill makes a very legitimate concern about, you know, she's about to lose her job. In fact, I have another friend who just took early retirement from GE because she was about to lose her job. I think in this economic times, we need to really take issue with some of the things that we're asking the taxpayers to fork over for. But as I said just a moment ago, I certainly appreciate the effort that's put forth by the committee structure and executive committee and eventually this board. But it's good to hear from Ms. Bryan. I'm sure there's more like her out there that if they had, you know, the wherewithal to stand there before this group and state their case, they would be better served and we would be better listeners.
Thank you. Member Cavallini.
It seems to me that we are, as a county and also other governmental bodies and, in fact, homeowners, between the proverbial rock and a hard place. You want to do certainly the right thing in difficult economic times. And I believe that the people who have worked very hard on putting this budget together have realized the difficulty that all of us are facing. This certainly is not an easy time for anyone. And I appreciate the lady who came before us and talked to us about the situation that she is facing. And I think many other people probably find themselves in similar straits. I know that I also have received my local tax bill, and I have to say I was surprised, I guess, at a multiplier that I'm really not quite sure how was established, and also to see my assessment go up when you hear that property values are in fact declining in an economic time. You just wouldn't think that your assessed values would be going up. So there's a lot of issues here that I don't know in this hearing we can really address, and I think Mr. Segubiano also brings up some good points, and we really need to sit back and stand back and look at this in a wider perspective.
Thank you. Member Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kind of addressing some of the issues, at least especially if you're looking in on the Finance Committee side, the amount of lateness in reimbursements. And I know a few months ago the committee had become very frustrated, especially in the probation area. And the committee was ready to bring in and ask our legislators locally here to come in and sit down with us at a committee level and talk about this. And I don't know how this all worked out, if they got the wind of it or if not, but within that month, the $800,000, a good portion of that came in from the state. So again, we get those monthly reports from the treasurer on where we're at on reimbursements. And that side of it as well is hurting us. But again, on that aspect, the committee does get monthly updates. And I know that with the frustration that we've had with that is something that the committee will continue to look at. And if we see continual rise in that, then we will call in our legislators to come in and sit down with us and talk about it and see if there's anything that, again, kind of as what Mr. Segbiano said, kind of see if there's anything that they can do in that aspect and kind of give answers to us as to what's going on. And again, thank the county treasurer for the reports that she brings to us every month and showing that where we are, especially in all of the three areas that we're seeing decline in. So again, with that, I echo everything that's been said today, but again, that is something that the Finance Committee in our aspect and what we deal with that we will continue to look at.
Thank you. Member Rakoskis.
I'd like to thank Mr. Segbiano. You were very eloquent in what you said, but you're absolutely right, and I agree with you. We need to have the state more accountable, and I don't know how we do it with these mandates, et cetera, that are unfunded. It's a serious situation. I'd like to thank Lynn. I think it was Barnhill. I may be incorrect. For taking the time to come out this morning, because I think the Lynn Barnhills of this community are not the exception. I think, unfortunately, they are all of us right now. I don't care what income bracket you're in. I think everyone has been greatly affected, some more than others, as far as if they can sustain themselves, even. So we do have to watch every dollar that we expect people to pay. And we need to make the state more accountable. That's a whole other issue, though, that we need to take up. But I'm glad you brought it up, Mr. Segbiano.
Thank you. Any other requests from members of the public or members of this board to address on the topic? We have one letter that was submitted that shall be read into the record. Mr. Lindbergh.
This is a letter received in our office, hand-delivered yesterday, from Suzanne Reese, 1005 Chicory Lane, Bloomington. Dear members, thank you for allowing me to address you by letter. This is in response to the proposed tax levy. I'm fully aware that the city, the county, and the state of Illinois are in a financial situation. This is also a situation for homeowners. The lucky ones that have kept their homes are struggling to keep them. Some two-income homeowners may now have one income due to layoffs and or closings of businesses in McLean County. Information obtained from the Bloomington Normal Realtors states that the average home sales 2008-2009 fell 3.5%. These are current closed sales. This figure should be taken into consideration before increasing taxes 4.12%. I do hope that the economy, both counties, states, and the country rebound, and then we can regroup and take up new discussions regarding the property taxes in McLean County. Until then, I do hope the board will not assess the property homeowners any increases in an area that will hurt the individual, the families, and the whole of the community.
Thank you. At this time, the Truth and Taxation hearing, McLean County Board shall be closed. It's now appropriate to call to order a regular meeting of the McLean County Board. We'll open with an invocation by Member McIntyre.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for the opportunity to live and serve the people of this county. Please grant us the strength, wisdom, and courage that is needed to work together so that we may provide effective governance. Keep free from harm our county employees and those who represent us in our armed services, both at home and overseas. We ask your help and guiding us to be fair and just in our efforts to make decisions that will positively affect the lives of all our residents. During this season of Thanksgiving, help us to be mindful of those residents who are less fortunate in need of our help, and allow us the insight to appreciate and pass on to others the wonderful blessings that you have bestowed on each of us. To you, our Heavenly Father, we respectfully pray. Amen.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Renner.
Here.
Segabiano.
Here.
Soldner.
Here.
Wendt. Walrab.
Here.
Ahart. Let's keep Kathy in our thoughts. I know she wasn't feeling very well. Bostick.
Here.
Butler.
Here.
Casely.
Here.
Cavallini.
Here.
Gordon.
Here.
Hasselton.
Here.
McIntyre.
Here.
Moss.
Present.
Knuckles.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Owens.
Present.
Rakowskis.
Here.
Rankin.
Here.
Sorensen.
Here. 19 members present. We have a quorum. Item 5, just awareness and an information item in your meeting agenda regarding the truth and taxation hearing. We have the consent agenda. Are there any items to be removed from consent? We have a motion, Segabiano, second Gordon, to move the move and approve the consent agenda as presented. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Reports of the standing committees, Executive Committee, Vice Chairman Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Executive Committee has several items for action this morning. A1A1 is request approval of the adoption of the fiscal year 2010 combined annual appropriations and budget ordinance and the five-year capital improvement plan, and authorize the chairman and the county clerk to sign. I would so move.
We have a motion. Owens, second. Cavallini. Questions, comments, or discussion? Ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Gordon. I see we're taking one before two. Wouldn't we vote on the levy first? Because if a levy didn't pass, then wouldn't we have to go back and adjust the budget? Or am I misunderstanding this? It seems out of sequence as far as...
That, or you pass a budget and then levy as needed to fund the budget. I think normally you pass budgets and then you pass your funding mechanism. That's how they do it in Springfield, and we know how much we admire that.
That is why I'm saying I think number two should come before number one. I mean, does anyone else understand what I'm saying? I think it's an assumption that you think the levy's passing, and I think that's presumptuous.
Member Owens.
I know in the past that when it's come to it, first few years I was on the board and the rate did increase. I voted for the budget but voted against the funding mechanism and was one of 20 that did that. So, again, that's just the way it has fallen. So, I mean, we can cross that bridge when we get there, but we've never had that problem. But I know that we've had members in the past that if the rate's gone up, they voted against the funding mechanism, but they voted for the budget. And I hope we don't have to find ourselves in that situation.
I mean, I think it's tradition. It's what we've done. Member Knuckles?
Yes, sir. I was going to mention the same thing. That's just the way it is, Betty.
Doesn't
mean it's right, but that's the way we've done it.
Yeah. Member Gordon?
Mr. Chairman, I think that the order is appropriate because if we were to move on the levy first, we're really moving with no benchmark against which to judge it. In other words, why do we need the levy if we don't have a budget already in place?
In other words, in debate on the budget, if the budget changes, then the levy would have to change. I guess conversely, Betty is also accurate that if the levy changes, the budget would potentially have to change.
Yes.
But
yeah, but I think the budget is the general framework within which the levy fits.
Member Rakowskis, we may just have to agree that you can say potato and I'll say potato, and this is the way we're going to do it. No, not actually. The budget would still be intact. I think it would then be a requirement of the oversight committees to come back with budget amendments to match available funding, which is not unlike what we did this past year, where it was clear that that funding wasn't going to be in place, so we brought budget amendments to address. So.
I wasn't trying to be difficult, so thank you.
That's right. Yes, she was, just for the record. No, I'm teasing. All right, we've got a motion. Owen, second. Cavallini? Or Cavallini on item 7A1A1. Is there any other discussion or comments? None heard. Consistent with our rules, this requires a roll call vote. And I'll ask the clerk to please call the roll. A yes vote approves the budget as presented and recommended by the oversight committees and the executive committee. A no vote does not approve it as presented.
Renner?
Yes.
Segubiano?
Yes.
Soldner?
Yes.
Wendt?
Yes.
Wohlrab?
Yes.
Ahart is absent. Bostic?
Yes.
Butler?
Yes.
Kaisley?
Yes.
Cavallini?
Yes.
Gordon?
Yes.
Hasselton?
Yes.
McIntyre?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Knuckles?
Yes.
O'Connor?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
Rakowskis?
Yes.
Rankin?
Yes.
Sorensen?
Yes. Motion passes 19-0. Vice Chairman Owens?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A1A2 is request approval and adoption of the 2009 tax levy ordinance for McLean County and authorize the chairman and the county clerk to sign, and I would so move.
We have a motion, Owens, second. Bostic, questions, comments, or discussions? I guess just a point of clarification for me. Based on the conversation and discussion during the hearing previous to this meeting, and I guess I'm pointing this to Terry, I want to be clear that our overall levy rate is consistent with the budget policy that the board passed at the beginning of this process.
Your policy indicates that you will do all you can to not increase the tax rate. The tax rate declines very slightly with this budget. The levy does increase, but that's relative to an increase in overall equalized assessed valuation. The tax rate is slightly lower in this budget than it was in the prior year's budget.
Member O'Connor.
Okay, let's go back to this $165,000 homeowner. What happens to that person's tax bill if the levy is defeated?
Well, eventually you're going to have to pass a levy or find another way to raise about $32 million to fund the overall $77 million budget. So it's indeterminate. It depends on what levy you would finally pass. But out of your $77 million budget, $32 million is property tax money. So if you don't vote for this tax ordinance and you give guidance to staff to bring you a lower number, then you'll have to go back to your committees and make additional budgetary adjustments and come back with another levy. And I don't know what that amount would be, so it'd be hard to tell until you act. No, not until you take action.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? I actually am dying to hear the answer to Member O'Connor's question, though. If you were to rephrase the question, if you're okay with this, Ms. O'Connor, I'll try. $165,000 house, and I think we use that number for the sole purpose of that happens to be the number that we've done the math on, or I'm assuming we've done the math on. If the rate was what it was last year versus what the rate is in this levy, what's that difference? That was her question, Chief.
It would be $1.40 less.
This year?
Yes.
Is that your question, Ms. O'Connor?
Well, I thought we said what was it going to be, $1.40 less with the new one?
That's with the new one.
Okay. And if we
stayed the same as what we are, it would still be $1.40 less? No.
If
it'd be $1.40 more is the way I would think. No?
No, if you, there are three components to property taxes: the assessed valuation, the levy you're seeking and the rate that is necessary to raise that levy. Your levy is increasing by 4.12% overall. But because the equalized assessed valuation is projected to grow a little more than that, the actual tax rate decreases very slightly. So all things being equal, the impact on someone who had a house valued at $165,000 last year and has a house valued at $165,000 this year would pay $1.40 less in property taxes. If you don't vote for this tax ordinance and you direct staff to go back and decrease the levy to some extent, then that will produce a lower tax rate, and the difference between what someone may have paid last year and would pay this next year, all other things being equal, would be greater than that $1.40 decrease.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Member Gordon.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Lindbergh, am I correct that houses of differing values would be affected proportionately? That is to say, a $165,000 house would pay $1.40 less. $100,000 house might be paying, somewhat less, but not $1.40. But the actual tax due would be lower for the owner of a house of any value?
Making the assumption that the assessed valuation didn't move on that property, yes.
Making the assumption that the EAV didn't move.
Right. Some did, some didn't. And we know for a fact that in the city of Bloomington, many assessments went down this year, which actually sent a lot of people back to the drawing board.
So that the assumption for those homeowners would be what, as far as their taxes varying up or down?
Even lower. If their assessment went down and the rate went down, then it's a multiplied effect.
The rate going down, fine. How about the levy? If the levy...
Levy's inconsequential in that question.
Okay, thank you.
I've got Mr. Wendt.
How sure are we of this projected value of all the property? You said it was a projected value that we think, because if that comes in less than what you're projecting, then the rate's going to go up, right?
We've had a track record for at least the last 11 years that I've been here that we've been very conservative, and we've always ended up with a higher overall EAV than we had used for budgetary preparation purposes, and we're confident this year that we're on the conservative side as well.
Okay.
Member Hosselton.
I don't think I've met anybody in my school. Lee, where are you when I need you? In my part of the world, which is basically everything north of Route 9, country boys, I nearly got tarred and feathered this morning. My own personal experience, nothing's going down. That house that I just recently bought in Lexington a year ago is magically worth a lot more than when I bought it. And I can take you, I own a lot on Lake Bloomington, and you want to hear what it is? Hang your hat. My sons and I were having a good time one day, and we decided we'd tear a cabin down. Spur of the moment thing, and we tore it down. It's a vacant lot. 60 by 180. You cannot even guess what the taxes are with nothing on it. $3,780. And it goes up there. I think the exception to the rule of it going lower, I think that's an exception to the rule. Everybody I talked to this morning around the round table, their taxes had gone up. There was no exception. Now, in defense of what Terry says, this year is not one of the average 11. We got to look at that horse from a different angle. Personally, I'm going to vote on the no on the levy. I'll vote on the yes on the budget, but I don't know how we can solve it. I really don't. But we got to do something. Thank you very much.
Member Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, we look at this, and we're talking that the tax rate levy is just one, for the county, it's one portion of our tax bill. I mean, our portion rate is showing to go down very, very small. Again, but that doesn't say that our school districts and our water reclamation districts and all that, that the taxes are going to go, that levy, those levies are going to go down. That's where you look at as well. Again, this is just one small portion. And I've told people in the past, I said, they're like, well, I see that the rate, county and the tax rate, from what I've seen in the paper, that it's going to go down, but yet my taxes went up. And I say, well, you look at your tax rate, and from year to year, especially a big portion of it is usually the school districts. And I'm in District 87, and my assessed value is going up every year on my home. And yet I look at the tax bill from last year, and that's the good portion of it is the school district is I'm paying more to the school districts this next year than I am the year before. And again, that's based on my assessed value, but also I'm pretty sure that the rates that they've levied has probably gone up. And we've talked about various other governments in the county have said that they're going to have to do something with their property tax rates as well. Again, I look at the overall rate because it's the assessed value that rate is assessed at. And again, the general tax rate that we will levy is going down. That does not mean that that portion of the tax on our bills are going to go down, because if our assessed value goes up, then that's going to show there. So again, it's all about the rate, and our rate is showing to go down.
Member Solner.
Yes, I, Mr. Owens stole some of my thunder. I was going to mention the same thing. I think our portion of the total tax bill is like 12%, I believe. I think we need to make sure that as citizens we show as much fervor at our school districts, our school boards, our fire departments. I think I pay about as much money to the Golden Prairie Library District that I do the county. So there's other taxing bodies that we need to look at. I'm personally proud of the work that the county's done. I brag on our tax rate for the county to other people because we have done such a good job. So thank you.
Thank you. Member Renner, you lost your place in line, by the way, because you had to leave.
I don't want to come in on the heels of whatever Member Solner might say. But certainly, coming from someone who's actually got a piece of property that he's trying to sell that's 15% below assessed value from a couple years ago, I can say my property taxes do go up every year. The assessment goes up every year. And we're only 13 cents on the dollar, of course, in the county. So our $165,000 house last year is probably not going to be $165,000 in its value this year. The assessment was something like $55,000. It may only go up slightly. So, again, we know that the average taxpayer is going to pay at least a little more here. The other thing is, though, I think we've got a pretty conservative budget. Is it the most conservative budget we could have put together? No. But I think it's a fairly lean budget. We have eliminated 13 positions. I think we have to go ahead with this. I'm going to be supporting the levy.
Thank you. Other comments? Member Cavallini?
I know that taxes, no matter how we explain it, it always seems difficult to comprehend. And we're talking about different things, the levy, the rate, and the assessment. And I certainly hear with my colleague Stan Hazelton saying about assessment, you know, maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea if we actually would invite someone from the assessor's office to come here before the county board and just give us a mini course in how this whole process works. I think we understand in general, but there are still questions about, well, how are these assessments determined? How is that multiplier fixed? Who determines that? Is it just a number pulled out of the air? Certainly I would hope not, but when I get my tax statement, I look at that multiplier, there it is, 0.029, I think it was. Well, why is it that? Why couldn't it be 0.010? I guess I would need somebody to come here and explain and offer some clarity that I presently lack.
Some townships are better than others. As an example, the township... No, I'm teasing. I'm joking. Bob, do you want to take a shot at a quick answer?
It's really simple.
For those of you that don't know Mr. Common, Bob Common is the McLean County Supervisor of Assessments.
Good morning to all of you. My world is where I love hearing what gets said at these meetings, just in the sense that it's what you read and it's what we hear on TV. And what I do is look at the actual numbers. And the fact of the matter is you're wrong. Well, you just are. You're as wrong as you can be about where values have gone. Right now, the question was, where's our final EAV going to be? We don't have the final number yet because the board of review is open. But McLean County right now sits at $3,932,000,000 in assessed value. And based on the state's study of that math, to answer Mr. Cavallini, there I could talk, and Mr. Sorensen knows this, for weeks, literally, on how we come up with this. There's a tremendous amount of science and math that goes into this. But we sit at, statistically, 33.30%. The state statute says that we should be at 33.33. That's the target. To bring it in at 33.30 means that our entire system is working. Now, you do have to understand that we had a speaker from the public talk, but she talked about her one little world, whereas we're dealing with the entirety of McLean County. And in the state, they're dealing with, you know, so this just gets bigger and bigger. So we don't actually look at any individual property because we could just as easily have had somebody come in here that works at our good neighbor. They haven't had a big layoff. They're doing very well. They, in a sense, drive our entire market. This is a wonderful market that we live in. Even in the rural areas, we have farmland for farmland selling at $8,000 an acre. So, this year is obviously a terrible year because so much corn is still in the field. But overall, McLean County, the nuts and bolts of it, when you sit down with a guy like me, you know, it's kind of like sitting down with your financial advisor and actually looking at the numbers. I know my person didn't call me before this recession hit, and I lost 40% in my investments. That's a fact. But in your house, when I sit down with you individually and we talk about your homes, and I say to you, will you sell me your house today for 40% less or even 2.5% less than you would have a year ago? Generally speaking, the answer is no. In those rare cases where the answer was yes, such as Money Creek, where Member Hazleton's talking about, that whole thing was, their multiplier actually was negative, but it was simply because of the scope of the thing. In general, they have 3 times more value per property up there than any other property in the county. So at the very high end, was it hit harder? Absolutely. But traditionally, in historically and statistically, in a recessionary times, the lower end homes tend to not lose any value. In fact, they tend to gain value because there's government programs to provide all kinds of extra funding. We have the $8,000 first-time home buyer rates. I just refinanced. I'm in process, and I'm getting a 5% loan. These are wonderful things, and what they encourage is low-end properties to be sold, and they actually tend to appreciate statistically in these markets. The $165,000 home, the problem with that one is that our state senator is building them like crazy in that same price range. And ARC and Keisner and all those builders are building in that price range. And so there's a lot of competition. And we still have permits going out right now for houses in the $500,000 to $600,000 range. So overall, the picture that I see is one that's still very solid in this county. And I will be the first one to ask for time from this board to come and tell you if the statistics show that the numbers are starting to fall. So what we have is a market that's very solid, actually, where you haven't lost a tremendous amount of value. There is a lot of science that goes into calculating these assessed values. And right now I'm very confident that I can say that the average home in McLean County is assessed at 1/3 of its value. You may say, well, that shouldn't be. And that's the argument they had up in Chicago, where they saw wholesale reductions in the EAVs in certain areas, yet the tax bills, when they came out, actually went up. So, you know, this is a complicated business that I manage, but overall, McLean County, we are in very tight conformance with the law as far as our assessed values are concerned. Sorry, I talked longer than I should.
No, that's fine. Thanks, Bob. Thank you, Mr. Common. I will remind members that Mr. Common reports regularly at the Finance Committee meeting and is available for questions ad nauseum there. And you're welcome, Finance Committee members, for that. Member Segabiano.
I call for the question, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. The question has been called. A yes vote supports the levy as presented in the packet, and no vote defeats the levy as presented and recommended in the packet. Clerk, please call the roll.
Renner?
Yes.
Segubiano?
Yes.
Soldner?
Yes.
Wendt?
No.
Wohlrab?
Yes.
Kathy is not here. Bostic?
Yes.
Butler?
Yes.
Kaisley?
Yes.
Cavallini?
Yes.
Gordon?
Yes.
Hasselton?
No.
McIntyre?
No.
Moss?
Yes.
Knuckles?
Yes.
O'Connor? Owens?
Yes.
Rakowskis?
Yes.
Rankin?
Yes.
Are you voting?
Sure.
Sorensen?
Yes.
16-3.
Mm-hmm. Motion passes 16-3. Vice Chairman Owens, if you could move on a little quicker this time.
I move the rest of that. No. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A1A3 is request approval and adoption of the fiscal year 2010 full-time equivalent positions resolution, and authorize the chairman and the county clerk to sign, and I would so move.
Thank you. We have a motion, Owens, second, Butler. Any questions, comments, or discussion? This resolution is reflective of the budget recommendations in the budget just passed, which includes the reduction in FTE staffing in the various departments in the county. Any other questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Thank you. A1A4 is request county board authorization to have the county administrator publish fiscal year 2010 adopted budget appropriation ordinance and the 2009 tax levy ordinance, and I would so move.
We have a motion, Owens, second, Rakowskis. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Our general report and minutes of the Bloomington Normal Airport Authority regular meeting can be found in our packets on 259 to 271.
Any questions for Vice Chairman of the Executive Committee? Member Segubiano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I don't have any comments for the chairman, but I just would like to congratulate the county board because, once again, this year we remain in the black. And I think if we look at some of our counterparts of Bloomington Normal, you just read the paper, you know, they're talking about tax increases. City of Bloomington, which I happen to be a resident, one day found $3 million, the next day they're in the hole $4 million. We're not in that situation, and consequently the bond rating has dropped. So although, you know, Mrs. Barnhill makes a very legitimate speech in behalf of people such as herself and others, and Mr. Commons, you know, made the remark that her one little world, well, her one little world is a piece of the puzzle that makes up the entire world for McLean County. And I think we need to hear more from Mrs. Barnhill and others like her. But once again, if we look what's happened going on around us in regards to the tax levy, Bloomington Normal citizens are about to be hit, which all of us, most of us are citizens of Bloomington Normal. But the county remains in the black, and I think it's a plus for us, it's a plus for this board. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions or comments for the Executive Committee? Justice Committee, Chairman Renner.
I'll try not to be as long as Vice Chairman Owens.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'm going to separate these items, even though usually I would bring them together because we've got members of the board who want to abstain. Item B1A is request approval of an intergovernmental agreement between the County of McLean and Illinois State University for centralized booking, and I so move that.
Oh, motion Renner, second Kaisley. Questions, comments, or discussion? Member Knuckles.
Abstain.
Other questions, comments, discussions? Member Rankin?
Abstain.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And
two,
item,
two abstentions noted.
Excuse me. Sorry. Item B1B is request approval of an intergovernmental agreement between the County of McLean and Town of Normal for centralized booking, and I so move that.
We have a motion, Renner, second, Rakowskis. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Item B1C is request approval of an intergovernmental agreement between the County of McLean and the City of Bloomington for centralized booking, and I so move that.
Motion Renner, second McIntyre. Questions, comments, or discussion? Member Moss?
I wish to abstain.
Noted.
I abstain.
Noted.
Walrab, Moss.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
And then item B1D is request approval of a resolution approving McLean County's continued participation with the state of Illinois in the appellate prosecutor's office in the state's attorney's office. I so move that.
We have a motion, Renner, second, Hostleton. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, our general report is found on pages 283 to 290.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Chairman Renner of the Justice Committee?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Land Use and Development Committee, Chairman Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Land Use and Development Committee brings no items for actions. This morning at a stand-up, we approved our minutes and we paid our bills, so we're up to date.
Are there any questions for Chairman Gordon of the Land Use and Development Committee? None heard. Property Committee, Chairman Bostic.
We bring no items to the board this morning. Our general report appears on 291 through 294.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Chairman Bostic of the Property Committee? Transportation Committee, Chairman Hostleton.
We have no items for action. Our general report can be found on 295 to 300. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Chairman Hostleton of the Transportation Committee? I lament today, you know, Chairman Owens of the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Finance Committee just has a few items for action this morning. F1A requests approval to update lease agreement with Showbus for two new vehicles through building and zoning, and I would so move.
Thank you. Second Cavallini, questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
F1B is a request approval of an amendment to the McLean County Revised Code, Chapter 26, Food Service, and Chapter 28, Health and Sanitation through the Health Department, and I would so move.
Motion Owens, second O'Connor. Questions, comments, or discussion? Member Casely.
I object to the amendment to Section 26.85-6B.
Can you give us a page reference, please?
On page 315. Exemptions of food establishments. They are cutting out a number of exemptions, and they are adding registration under Section 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code. What we are really doing is we are delegating to the Congress of the United States and the tender mercies of the Internal Revenue Service what is exempt and what is not exempt. And I think we ought to continue as exemptions labor, fraternal, veterans, and political and civic organizations from the ordinance. And I think that the way we have it is preferable to saying simply organizations registered under Section 501c3.
Just for clarification, this is in reference to temporary food permits only?
Yes.
All right. Are you making an amendment? Or are you just...
I would propose that we send it back to the Finance Committee.
Okay. Is that a motion to send it back to the Finance Committee?
Yes. I'm moving that we send it back to the Finance Committee.
We have a motion to send it back to the Finance Committee.
Second for discussion.
Second for discussion purposes, Sego Biano. Member Gordon?
Point of clarification on this motion. Is the reference only to Section B at the top of page 315?
Yes.
So that basically you are suggesting that go back to Finance, and if that motion is approved, then we could proceed with approving the rest of it.
Yes.
Or voting on the rest of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Lindberg.
Mr. Chairman, this was discussed at some length at the Finance Committee meeting. The reason the language is proposed to be registered under Section 501c3 is that is a widely used definition in other parts of our ordinances and in other laws. The fact is that with regard to political organizations, for example, we don't recall ever a political organization actually applying for and receiving a temporary food permit. So it's hard to suggest that this would be punitive toward political organizations. I think the intent here of establishing a category of fee-exempt establishments is to not charge those certain not-for-profit entities that are classified as 501c3. So this is simply an attempt to standardize the definition as to something that's already been defined. As Member Casely points out, it's been defined by the federal government, but it is a definition that is in common usage in other parts of our ordinances, and that's why you see it here.
Other questions, comments, or discussion on the motion to send this back to finance? Just clarification. I appreciate Mr. Gordon's question. What you're suggesting is that we send this back to finance for review of just this section.
Then
Mr. Gordon, I'm not sure that I agree with your assessment that we can send this back and still act on the rest of the primary motion. I think you have to send the whole thing back or nothing at all. Member Gordon?
Am I correct then that the motion, that the mover and seconder might be requested to accept a revised version of the amendment to send the whole section back? If they're willing, that's apparently what we need to do.
Yeah, I think that's a matter of rule that I'm assuming, Mr. Casely, you understand. You are moving to send this whole document back to finance with specific direction to address this section, correct?
Very well.
All right. Yes. Member Owens?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I thank Member Casely for his comments. Again, this was discussed at length. In fact, Mr. Casely made a motion and it failed because there was no second. He was trying to amend this at that time. I just don't see, unless there's change on the committee members who are present here today, if we would change this section. It was debated and the motion amendment did fail due to lack of second. I would urge that this not be sent back.
Member Rakoskis.
Yes, I too concur with Mr. Owens, who's chairman of finance, that it came before us. We spent a great amount of time on discussing it, and it died in the motion there. So I don't know what we would achieve sending it back.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions, comments, discussion? Member Casely?
Yeah, so you just wait till the Laborers International Union ends up having to pay one of these permit fees for their annual picnic, or the Fraternal Order of the Eagles gets hit with one of these for their annual outing, or the American Legion or the VFW post or some civic organization. It's not going to be a pleasant thing, and I think that we need to keep those things definitely stated in our ordinance rather than simply adopting a moving ordinance provision defined by the Congress of the United States. We are capable of deciding this on our own in this county, and we don't need to adopt Section 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code. And we certainly don't want to be subject to the tender mercies of the Internal Revenue Service and their regulations as to who qualifies and who does not qualify under Section 501c3.
Thank you. Member Owens? Member Saldner?
Do I understand that prior to our approval of this that the fraternal organizations, the veterans, political, civics, these people have been paying for this fee now? But they might after we approve it.
I guess I have a clarification question. All of your examples, are they not 501c3 organizations?
Not necessarily.
All right. Member Wendt?
Well, yeah, your political organizations wouldn't be a 501c. And then there's organizations that may not apply. They may be a nonprofit, and they just don't apply to be a 501c. I mean,
Nonprofits are covered.
I thought it says
and other non-for-profit organizations remain in the ordinance.
Right.
But political organizations would be covered anymore.
Right. But political organizations are not nonprofits.
Member Owens?
This time I'd like to ask Walter a question on this, of how many of these organizations have applied for this, these type.
Have you ever had a situation where any of those organizations that are strict in there by that have applied for a permit for this particular situation that's identified here? We just use this language to try and be consistent that Mr. Lindbergh had identified, so we could clearly say all registered under Section 513 Internal Revenue Service nonprofit organizations are clearly exempt. That was the intent. We had mentioned that in other places of the ordinance. We tried just to be consistent. Now, we've never had veteran groups apply into this section that had to pay a permit in the past.
Okay. Member Segubiano?
For clarification, Mr. Chairman, there are different levels of 501Cs. There's two, threes, and fours, and they each have different obligations or different, exemptions. So there is a difference between three and four, or three and two in the 501C category.
Okay. Member Gordon?
Mr. Chairman, I heard Mr. Member Wendt's question and off mic Mr. Rankin's answer. I'd like to read, am I correct that if we approve this, that Section B will read as follows: includes units of government and bona fide religious, charitable, educational, tax-exempt, and other not-for-profit organizations registered under Section 501c3. Etc. Is that correct? Because other not-for-profit organizations, all of these, the other not-for-profits would have to be 501c3 registered. It's not just you can be not-for-profit and be exempt from the fee. You have
to
be
not-for-profit. Yeah, and I think that's the crux of the issue, and that is what it is established. It is I think the proposed language is broadly defining things, but it's saying and registered as. Okay. Right. Other questions, comments, or discussion? The motion on the floor is to basically send these edits back to the Finance Committee. All those in favor of sending the primary motion back to the Finance Committee, please signal. We had a second for discussion purposes, Segubiano.
Do they change it from just that one section to the whole?
You can't send back just one section. Yeah, you send the whole thing.
Send the ordinance back to work on that section.
Send the yeah. Okay. Motion for clarification purposes is to send the primary motion back to Finance for the purpose of working on Section B of the document. Any other questions, comments, or discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the Casely-Segubiano motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
No.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Clarification on yes or no vote.
A yes note returns the primary motion made by the Finance Committee to the Finance Committee for the purpose of working on Section B. A no vote returns the primary motion to the floor of the board for further discussion.
Okay. Renner?
No.
Segubiano?
Yes.
Soldner?
Yes.
Wendt?
Yes.
Walrab?
No.
Ahart is absent. Bostic?
No.
Butler? Casely?
Yes.
Cavallini?
Yes.
Gordon?
No.
Hasselton?
Yes.
McIntyre?
Yes.
Moss?
No.
Knuckles?
Yes.
Owens?
No.
Rakowskis?
No.
Oh, I missed one. Excuse me. Knuckles said yes, and then O'Connor?
No.
Owens?
You said
Rakowskis? Did I do it right? Let me make sure on that. Okay, Knuckles?
Knuckles says yes.
Knuckles says yes. O'Connor?
O'Connor says no.
Owens?
Says no.
Okay, Rakauskas?
No.
Rankin?
No.
And Sorensen, you said you didn't say you were going to vote. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 no's.
10 no votes. The motion fails. The original motion, as presented by Finance, is returned to the floor. Questions, comments, or discussion?
Mr. Chairman, just a comment. As we deal with 501c3s, I would request that the Finance Committee look into what differences there are in the 501c categories.
Thank you. Other questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
No.
Please call the roll.
Get my glasses here.
A yes vote passes the motion of the Finance Committee. No vote does not pass the motion of the Finance Committee.
Okay, let's go here. Renner.
Yes.
Segubiano.
No.
Soldner.
Yes.
Wendt.
No.
Walrab.
Yes.
Ahart is absent. Bostic. Butler.
Yes.
Kaisley.
No.
Cavallini.
No.
Gordon.
Yes.
Hasselton.
No.
McIntyre.
No.
Moss.
Yes.
Knuckles.
No.
O'Connor.
Yes.
Owens. Rakauskas?
Yes.
Rankin?
Yes.
Motion passes 11 to 7.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. F1D is request approval of an ordinance authorizing the public approval of the issuance of certain collateralized single-family mortgage revenue bonds.
C. Excuse me, Ben.
I'm sorry, C? Oh, I'm sorry. I put my wrong arrow on the wrong one. I'm sorry. F1C is a request approval of ordinance of the McLean County Board amending the 2009 combined annual appropriations and budget ordinance for Fund 0107 through the Health Department. I would so move.
Member Owen, second Hasselton. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Thank you. F1D, request approval of an ordinance authorizing the public approval of the issuance of certain collateralized single-family mortgage revenue bonds and certain documents in connection therewith and related matters, County Administrator's Office, and I would so move.
Motion Owen, second Kaisley. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you. F1E is request for approval of a resolution to establish rate for health and life insurance coverage for fiscal year 2010 to the County Administrator's Office, and I would so move.
Motion Owen, second Cavallini. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
F1F is request approval of Class D raffle license for Central Catholic High School through the County Administrator's Office. This was approved this morning at our stand-up, and I would so move.
Motion Owens, second Segubiano. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you. Our general report can be found on pages 370 through 390.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Chairman Owens of the Finance Committee? None heard. Report of the County Administrator, Mr. Lindbergh.
I have nothing to report this morning. I'd be happy to answer any questions the members might have.
Are there any questions for the Administrator's Office? Any other business or communications for the County Board? Member Gordon.
Mr. Chairman, a clarification, and I missed it as we were going through the consent agenda. 6F2. Just a clarification. I'm wondering if that is a typo with regard to the appointment of Mr. Cavallini to the McLean County Extension Board. Does that term expire November 30th, 2009 or 2010?
I believe it's 2010. I think his current term extended to ended to the. It's a one-year term.
One-year term.
So
okay.
It should have read 2010.
Thank you. I just want to be sure we weren't approving him for 13 days.
Any other business or communication to come before the McLean County Board today? We have bills to pay. Bills totaling $4,830,579.19. Is there a motion to approve the bills? Member Cavallini, second Kaisley. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. The County Board is adjourned until December 15th, 2009.